Welcome to Let's Talk with Sanctuary, a podcast designed for women in ministry. I'm Bridget Tomlin, founder of Sanctuary, a ministry for ministry wives. Our desire is to break free from isolation and foster authentic connection. Let's redefine sanctuary. Welcome to Let's Talk with Sanctuary. My name is Bridget and I'm your host. I'm just elated that you're here with us today. Today we're going to talk about women's ministry, and this is a specific topic that we haven't really narrowed in yet on this podcast, and so I'm extremely excited about it. You know, women's ministries have been steadily developing over the past 75 to 100 years, really. And we say that as though, you know, there was some kind of launching point for women's ministry. Ministry from women to women has been happening since women have been on this planet. But when we talk about the development and the organizational elements of women's ministry, they've been taking shape through various evangelical denominational models really for the last 75 to 100 years. And so for many churches, from rural to urban, the women's ministries of the local church can be found at the grassroots foundation of its very existence. And for decades upon decades, it's the rallying of women toward a common cause that has provided stability for a church to get off the ground, even raising funds for buildings to be built and to bless God, to be adorned with some incredible home interiors decor. Does that bring back some wealth of memories there for some of our listeners? I once preached a message from Luke chapter 8 that takes us back even to Jesus's earthly ministry. The scripture tells us that Jesus had his own decent sized entourage that essentially made up his evangelistic association, and goes so far as to name women in that specific chapter who were financing the ministry. So yes, we know that women can get things done, but when it comes to women's ministries, you know, cultivating spiritual growth and fostering that healthy, authentic connection, what does that look like in 2022? Are women's ministries as necessary today in the local church as they were even like 50, 60, or 70 years ago? And so what should they look like if that is the case? You know, today I welcome special guest Kelly Ferguson to help me tackle these questions and so much more. In fact, Kelly and I will be discussing women's ministries once per quarter this year because there's so much content to digest and places that I want to journey to within this topic. So I'm excited to welcome Kelly. She serves alongside her husband, Benny, as lead pastors at Calvary Church in Frederick, Maryland. She is an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God, and she serves on the Potomac Ministry Network with the Assemblies of God, a women who lead team, and is a field team speaker for an organization called AG Women. Benny and Kelly have 4 children, Elena, Malia, Benny, and Lacey. Kelly's passionate about reaching the lost and discipling the found, and she believes every person can have an authentic, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. She loves connecting women to God and to one another and believes that sisterhood is for every girl. She loves date nights, being a mama, strong coffee, dark chocolate, and she loves confetti. So, Kelly, we're so thrilled to have you with us today, and I'm just looking forward to this conversation so much. Welcome to Let's Talk with Sanctuary.
Thanks, Bridget. I am so excited to be here with you talking about one of my favorite things in all the world. And I have to say, I love you so much. I have known you for so many, I think like 20 years now.
Yeah,
that's
probably
weird that we're old enough that we've been friends for 20 years.
Right.
But I love what is happening in this space more and more. I'm talking to pastors, ministers, people in ministry who are struggling and who need a voice of encouragement. And I love that that is what Sanctuary is. It's a voice of encouragement for women in leadership, in all areas of leadership, whether you're leading in your home, in your family, in your church, in business. It's just so important to have a voice of encouragement. And I think you are one of the best at this. Every time I run into you, you know, I wish people could see this podcast right now to see even now, like your smiling face. When I picture you, I picture you smiling, and just you bring so much joy and so much encouragement, and we're better for knowing you.
Oh, how precious are you? Thank you so much for that. You know, this really is a massive topic. And so we're going to tackle it together. You know, while I've led women's ministries in the local church, it's been, you know, probably 5 to 7 years ago that I was actively leading a women's ministry. And a lot really has evolved in that amount of time. And before we get started, Kelly, I just want to have you share with us your own history with women's ministries, and then tell us a little bit about what you're doing in this field right now. Kind of set some groundwork here for us.
Okay, so you started off talking about how I'm passionate about sisterhood. I just want to say up front, I have not always enjoyed women's ministry at all. If gotcha. I'm being totally honest, when we first got married, I was in my very early 20s, and we were serving at a church, and I felt obligated. I knew I was required to attend women's ministry events. And I remember one event in particular. It was a Christmas tea party. And I showed up to this thing. I didn't know what to wear. I got there. I felt so out of place. It was obvious looking around that a lot of the women had coordinated their outfits. Several of them, I'll never forget, had these matching jackets on. And like they had gone together and got these matching jackets, just like a few of them. And mm-hmm. I sat there, and there was so much silverware. I didn't know which fork to use. I felt so uncomfortable. And I really honestly, Bridget, all I wanted to do was go home and take my pantyhose off and just cry. It was so hard for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, years later, just probably about 3 or 4 years later after that, I went to a women's conference with some of my friends on staff. And God spoke to my heart so powerfully. And I just remember looking around. I'll never forget. I was in my early 20s, looking around at this arena full of women, thousands of women I had never met. And we even broke into times of like praying for one another. These women I'd never met, never seen before. But what was happening in that room was so powerful. There was no pretense. There was no competition. It didn't feel exclusive. It felt like women just loving and ministering to other women. And I thought, this is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the big arena, not necessarily the big events or the fancy speakers, but I was going home thinking, why have I hated these events so much before? And what was so different about this for me? And I think it was the culture. It was the environment. It was the feeling of belonging. That even though I was in a room with thousands of women I had never met, I felt like I belonged. Mm-hmm. And so I really began to pray about that and ask God, you know, it felt like something I needed so badly. I just wept the 2 hours home, the girls in the car with me, you know, we just had this great dialogue about what it was that God was doing in our hearts, what was happening corporately, and how we could bring that back to our local context. And it really changed my attitude. It changed my heart about what was possible for women's ministry. And I realized at the end of all of it that it wasn't about the particular event. It wasn't that I hated tea parties, which I probably did. It wasn't that I loved conferences, which I really didn't that much. It was about the culture and the atmosphere and how we all felt about the strengthening of one another, rather than feeling like that there were little cliques that the rest of us weren't part of. And so that began a journey for me. God really just spoke to my heart in such a way that weekend. And I knew he was calling me to create a space like that for women. So I just began to pray. I began to pray with my husband and a couple of close friends. And not long after that, we approached our lead pastor at the time we were on staff and just shared our heart about my husband was, you know, there supporting me in my heart about what God had spoken to me and what I felt for women. There was nothing at the time happening for women in our church. And so it seemed like a good opportunity for something new. And he was super supportive. Our pastor was, and said, create an environment for women. And so it started very small. It started, you know, just inviting women. I thought, well, I can invite women into my basement and we can pray together and, you know, and build relationship. And so we did, we started doing that, and some small events like that eventually over the course of a few years, you know, led to larger events, and that, you know, that began to grow. But what I remember so much was that it was really less about a particular event and more about creating an atmosphere where women felt loved, where women felt celebrated just as they were, mm-hmm. where it didn't feel like clicky or exclusive, but where there's always a seat open for somebody else, where you're always looking to invite someone else, and a place where you can feel vulnerable. So we started doing these great events and started doing a big yearly conference at that church. And Bridget, what was so amazing to me is we would stand at the registration table on Sundays and invite women to come and to sign up to come to these events. And women who had been in the church for years and years would come up to the table, and as they're registering, they would have tears running down their face. And I remember saying to one of these women who I had seen in church for so many years, like, why are you crying? And she was like, I'm just so nervous. I'm afraid I'm going to come and I'm going to be alone. Mm-hmm. And it struck me because I thought, man, this is someone that seems very connected that I see every week at church.
Yeah.
But I think there's something about an event for women, a group of women, a gathering of women that can really bring out the insecurities in all of us. And I realized that probably what I felt at that first tea party is what women feel all the time coming to a gathering. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it became kind of a core value that everything we do, sisterhood, is reaching out and taking the hand, looking at the eyes of every girl, not assuming that anyone knows their place or feels connected, but intentionally inviting women, bringing them along in a way that really puts value on each one. And so I think it's a very interesting thing that happens when all of us women are connected. I think it can bring out our insecurities, but it can also be a place of healing. And I remember at one of those very first conferences we did, we had a team of women all along the front praying at the very end of the service. And there was a woman that I saw just rose in front of me and kind of locked eyes with her. And I just saw her weeping. And she came out of her seat and came all the way down to the front for prayer. And it was in that moment. Now, this is a woman I had seen in church for years and years in that very same pew where she always sat on Sunday mornings. And she came week after week with a man that I thought was probably her husband. She came forward in the context of a women's only event and asked for prayer and said that she had been involved in prostitution for many years. She felt so much shame. And in that moment, something about the environment there that she felt loved, she felt valued, she felt safe. And in that moment, she felt like she could step out and be honest and be vulnerable and find freedom. And I just left thinking, man, she would have never come forward on a Sunday morning with all the men in the house around, but something about that environment made her feel safe, and it was totally life-changing for her. And so I just think it's super valuable. I think it's amazing what God can do when women gather and when women partner together. And that's why I love sisterhood.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that is so powerful. I think back to my early years in ministry. You know, we started in our early 20s as well, and being on staff at a church at one point, I would avoid women's ministry kind of as much as possible. A lot of it was just, it just wasn't my jam, you know, like the stuff that they were doing, I wasn't that interested in, and it may have been that it was being, you know, driven more towards a, you know, a different age, you know, gap of a different age range or generation of people. A lot of it too is I was always a straight shooter, and I felt like I couldn't really shoot straight in those environments. And I felt like a lot of it was just, I always called it cotton candy ministry. I felt like it was very surface. I wasn't interested in just getting together and putting on a facade. I wasn't interested in, you know, the cotton candy message, you're beautiful, and, you know, all those things that, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with saying that. Women need to hear that. It was not worth my time, personally. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that one of the things that we're really looking to unpack over these four sessions is just to really talk about what is effective when it comes to women's ministry, because it isn't one size fits all. The point I'm bringing is that what was working for a host of women, a lot of them were coming and craving that, and that was working for them. So I don't even say those things to discount what was being done, but to say it wasn't working for me and I was going out of sheer obligation. And I would say that in today's society, women do not attend things out of sheer obligation anymore. Even staff member wives, as a general rule, don't do that. We're busy people. We're not looking for something else to put on our schedules. We don't have, you know, if I'm going to give up an evening with my children at home or with my husband, or if I'm going to hire a sitter, for goodness sake, you know, I'm past those days now, but in the days when I was hiring a sitter, would I hire a sitter so that I can go and do something that I don't particularly want to do? I'm just going to, you know, someone guilted me into doing it, those kinds of things. So this is going to be about, like you're saying, cultivating that environment that is accepting and loving and not exclusive. And then also eventually we will talk about some of the logistics that make up planning perhaps a good event, or, you know, how do you minister to everyone in the same room on the same night at the same time, but they're not coming from the same places. And that's a very difficult and delicate thing to do. And it's something that I think that we can become better at. So talk to me about why there's value in the local church providing women's ministries in 2022.
You know, especially in 2022, I think it's valuable as culture is blurring the differences between men and women. Mm-hmm. And wow, what a strange time in life and society. But I think it is very strategic. In fact, we're doing more now individually with separate men's and women's ministries than we ever have, and kind of have a fresh passion about that because of what's happening in our world. And, you know, God has made us uniquely. He has made men different than women. And there's a valuing of femininity, of the feminine heart, that is so important in the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we are stronger as a body when every member is strengthened. Mm-hmm. And that includes the women. You know, women make up at least 50% of our churches. That's in a church when the men are doing a really good job. You know, the national average, I think, is more like there's like 63 to 65% of the church is women.
Sure.
And so we need to do a good job pouring into both men and women together and then separately. And there are just things like, for example, the story of the woman who came forward and said she was involved in prostitution. Mm-hmm. There are just things that I believe that God will do in the hearts of men and women when there is the safety of it being a group of just men or just women. And there's honesty, I think, that can happen in those environments that is really hard to happen in mixed company.
Agreed.
And so I think that is, like you're saying, when we go past the fluff and we tackle the real things that are on hearts, and we challenge women to go deeper in devotion, where it's not just all cotton candy and fluffiness, but where we're really willing to be honest with one another and get hope and get healing. And it's really incredible how there's a generation of women, I believe, rising up, that we're seeing women like at a faster rate than ever, saying that they're called to full-time ministry and feeling like they can step into that. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, even in our network of churches here and within our church, we are seeing women say, I feel called to full-time ministry. And they're in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. In fact, there are women I know right now. We have a ministry college that we just launched at our church last year. There is a woman in her 70s.
That's awesome.
Who has said, I can't shake this. I know God is calling me to minister to women in these last days. And so I'm going back to school. She's taking college classes, and she just wants to know everything she can about the word so that she can mentor and minister to women. I don't know if she'll ever be on staff at a church. It doesn't have to be that,
right.
But she wants to be fully equipped to be able to train and minister to women. I think that's amazing.
Sure.
You know, I think, growing up, I'm trying to even remember back when I was a kid. I'm a pastor's kid. I've been in the church my whole life. And I don't think before my mid-20s, I really personally knew a woman in my life, in my world, close up, who was called to ministry, who modeled that. It felt like very much a men's club kind of thing. I knew as a young child, I mean, God spoke to my heart in fifth grade at a kids' camp. And I knew I was called to full-time ministry, but I did not really think that it was possible for a woman to be a pastor or to be an evangelist or to be a missionary. I thought it had to be as a missionary's wife only or a pastor's wife only, if you were called to ministry. And so I think we're seeing as women are able to see ministry modeled from women, that there's a new fire ignited. Sure. And that people are going, oh, okay, there is a space for women to be able to minister to women. I think it's really powerful.
I completely agree with that. You know, we're going to paint with some fairly broad strokes here today because we realize that women's ministry looks different in different parts of the country, right? So what's working in the Metroplex will be less effective in rural America. And, you know, one of the things that I don't want to do today is to say, this is what you should be doing. And this is what you shouldn't be doing. I remember many years ago at a district minister's conference that my husband was had attended, but he was ministering at a sizable church in the weeks following that in more of a suburban city. And the pastor was just raving about that conference and about how great the worship was and the style of the featured guest preaching and the training on what should be present in today's local church for growth. And then the week after that, my husband's in a rural church in rural America, and the pastor, you know, he has a vibrant church there in this small community. And he was speaking of the same conference. He had attended this same conference. And he says, you know, it was a good time, but I can tell you this, if I were to show up as a pastor in my town in a graphic tee and ripped jeans, this town would have no respect for me as a pastor at all, churched or unchurched. And we have to remember that every community has its own DNA and cultural dynamic. And so what we want to highlight today are the core kind of fundamental principles and goals that should be present in every women's ministry, regardless of venue or location. So I don't want any of our listeners to walk away from today's conversation and feel like there's some kind of strategic, specific thing that you need to be doing in the way of creating an event. You know, hopefully, and if you don't, you're going to need to get to know the dynamic of the culture that you're endeavoring to reach and be able to implement these kinds of principles into cultivating the environment that Kelly and I are talking about. Be on the lookout as we will be featuring more from today's guest, Kelly Ferguson, on a variety of facets of women's ministry each quarter of this year. And before year's end, we will invite additional women's ministries coordinators from churches of all sizes to join in on the conversation in a panel discussion. Do you have questions about your specific situation? Or maybe you have an idea of something that has proven to be successful in reaching and connecting women in your area? Share those questions and thoughts with us through the link you'll find in today's show notes. So, Kelly, you've been involved in women's ministries in a variety of communities. And you've also been a part of a ground floor development of launching a women's ministry while also walking into a pre-existing women's ministry program, right? So what have you found to be successful elements in each of those scenarios? What are some of those through threads that you have discovered? These were things that were really crucial in the success of each of these different platforms.
Yeah, I love that question. I think that is such a good point, Bridget. Even, you know, different parts of the country, different churches, different environments require different methods. Yeah. And so, you know, we don't want to in any way say that even what I'm doing right now is the way that it should be done. Even in the probably 12 to 15 years that I've been doing women's ministry, even just the time, it's looked different.
Sure.
So I think we have to always be open to different methods, and even cultural context. But I think one of the things that is the most valuable is connection. Mm-hmm. And right now, I mean, I could right now turn on the computer and hear the world's best speakers. It's all at our fingertips.
Yeah.
And so while there is, you know, great need for preaching and teaching and all of that, you know, I think what we are needing most is connection, especially in 2022, when we have lived through several years of the enemy totally attempting to isolate us.
Absolutely.
There is something so powerful about being able to look in someone's eyes and care for them. And, you know, one of my favorite women's ministry stories ever is in Luke chapter 1. It's the Mary and Elizabeth moment.
Certainly.
And so when young Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel and he says that she's about to give birth to a baby, and she's like, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I'm young. You know, how could this possibly be me? And the angel says, you know, this is God's plan for you. You don't have to fear. And what do we see Mary do immediately after hearing the biggest news, probably the scariest news of her life, is she runs to Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And, you know, that wasn't an easy journey. Elizabeth didn't live across the street. That would have been a long and possibly a little bit of a hard journey for Mary, but she runs straight to Elizabeth, who they already clearly have connection. They already have relationship built. Elizabeth is in a totally different stage of life than Mary. She's older, you know, wiser, more mature, but Mary knows that in those moments of her life that she has someone to run to. And you see this beautiful picture, I think, of what sisterhood, of what women's ministry is all about, that Mary runs to Elizabeth. Elizabeth welcomes Mary with open arms, speaks truth to her. You see that there's clearly a peace that happens, because right after Elizabeth speaks encouragement to Mary, Mary bursts out in song to the Lord. And that's where we see her song recorded. And so it's such a beautiful picture. And I always go back to that, that no matter what the different method is, whether we're having a tea party or a Christmas event or a large conference, or whether you have two women around your kitchen table, what are the elements of ministry to women? What are the elements of this sisterhood that matter most? And I believe it's connection. I believe it's building these safe relationships of godly women in our lives who we know that is where we can run. You know, and I think it's so important. It's amazing to me to think about that relationship and to think, you know, Mary didn't wait until that news came and thought, okay, I got to find a mentor. Now I have to build a relationship. That relationship was clearly already built.
True.
And so you don't wait till the crisis times of your life to try to find relationship. It's important to be building these relationships and have these circles of safety and women who are pointing you to Jesus and calling out God's purpose in your life. And that way, then when the storms of life do come, you already have a built-in support system.
Yes.
And so I think that's probably at the heart of what is the most important thing about women's ministry, no matter what the event is, no matter what, you know, is on your yearly calendar of events for women. It's creating environments where women feel connected to one another. And we've found that as you grow bigger, as your ministry grows bigger, it's important to grow smaller. And so, you know, it's a big conference is not our goal. We have a big yearly conference and that's awesome. But the goal really of even all the large events we do is to point people into small groups, to get people plugged into life groups, because that close circle is where people find life change. It's where they develop. It's where they're discipled. It's in those close relationships. And that is something that I think that no matter if you're a large church or a small church, an urban church or a rural church, you can create connection.
And it's something that you have to ask the Holy Spirit to give you, you know, strategic creativity on how to do that. And in some instances, and we will dig deeper into this as we get farther in this series, you may have to break down some walls first before you can build some foundation of connection. And, you know, that's something that is so, so important. You know, many of our listeners are pastors' wives who have become sort of by default the women's ministries coordinator at the church that they pastor or co-pastor with their husbands. And while many may truly love women's ministries, many are also just kind of filling a slot because their pastor husband needs them to. I can't tell you how many pastors' wives I've met, and this is their situation. And you know, they're needing someone to step up and do it. No one else will. So it's obviously supposed to be your job, sister, pastor. You know what I'm saying? So let's talk to that precious woman who may find herself forging through the tasks of developing and maintaining their local church's women's ministry. Let's just say she's just found out that it's going to come to her. This is a new assignment that they've been given, or it has come back around to her. It was released to someone else and she's holding this in her hand, this responsibility. What does she do first?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think first and foremost is don't compare. Don't compare where you are or your current opportunity or current obedient assignment, if that's what it is. Maybe this is not totally a passion or a lane that you would love to run in, but you find that this is just an act of obedience. And I'll say that I have found that God always meets you there, that when we're faithful, when we step out, you know, the command to all of us is the same. We all have actually the very same call. It's to go and make disciples. And so just the way that we do that or the context sometimes looks a little bit different, but we're all called to make disciples. And so I think, you know, we're not all called to create a women's ministry. We're not all called to create a conference, but we are all called to make disciples. And so I believe that as we are obedient, that God will actually give us the love and the grace for that season. So maybe you've never imagined yourself leading ministry to women. I know that was never on my radar. But once I knew, I will say for me, the call to lead came before the passion for it.
Okay.
I knew God spoke to my heart and said, you need to create an environment for women to encounter God. And then I just began to pray about it. I wasn't like, man, I can't wait to gather a bunch of women. That was not my heart. But I found that as I was obedient and as I stepped in out in faith, willing to do what God had called me to do, that he gave me the grace for it and that he gave me the love for the women that I was leading. And so I think, number one, don't compare to what anyone else is doing, because God has entrusted you with your local context. God has entrusted you to love and to shepherd and to lead the women in your world. So don't worry about what someone else is doing. God has created us all uniquely. And I believe that in whatever context he has put you, he's put you there on purpose. He didn't make a mistake. He's not thinking, oh, I wish I'd put a different pastor's wife there. No, God's put you there for this reason, for this season. And so I think the second thing is just to love well the women around you. You know, as amazing and flashy as some of the women leaders are that we see online and at conferences, they're not there in your church, but you are. And you're the one who gets to love and to lead and to look in the eyes of the women in your church and tell them God's going to carry you through this and to give them the right word and the right season. God's entrusted you with that. And so don't worry about what other people are doing. Just love well the women in your world. And I would say that the next thing is just to make it easy. Just don't put too much pressure on yourself, but just start inviting women and start inviting women to your kitchen table, start inviting women into your living room and just investing, start sharing with them some of the things that God's speaking to you, what God's put on your heart, and don't overcomplicate it, but just start loving women well. And when we do that, we create an atmosphere where we're teaching women how to love other women well. And that atmosphere, that culture will impact your church. It'll impact the sphere of women around you. And those are the things that are the healthy building blocks for ministry to women. Doesn't have to start big. Doesn't have to start flashy. It doesn't ever have to even get big or flashy. You know, it can be as simple as just loving and serving well the women in your world because they need you.
Yes. And I don't want to oversimplify that. I think that what you just said is so, so crucial here is to understand that there is not a ladder of success when it comes to any ministry model for that matter. I think that we are so invaded with what we see all about us. It used to be, you know, and I think about women's ministry when I was growing up in the church, you know, it wasn't something that was ever considered to be really this conference-driven model that we are kind of confronted with pretty frequently as it is now with the age of social media and you know, of course, all the things that we subscribe to with websites and we have so much more access, as you said earlier, to people that are on the platform and doing things bigger and more grand. And technology has made, you know, things so much on such a bigger scale. In fact, you can make what you're doing look like so much more than what it really is because you have a great app on your phone. You know, I mean, like we have so many of these things accessible to us. And I think that it really is such a powerful thing to say today. It doesn't have to get big or flashy for you to be effective. There's obedience and disobedience. And maybe we got the cart before the horse a little bit, but I think that it's a value to bring out that leading a women's ministry is not about organizing a series of events. Sometimes that comes along with that, and a lot of times eventually it will. But what I'm hearing you say is that it's about cultivating a culture and a community. And to that pastor's wife who may find herself kind of needing to be put in that quote-unquote position of leadership, please understand that your primary goal right now may just be to lay the groundwork or the foundation for the person who's being cultivated and developed to lead this women's ministry to a different, into a different season beyond you. But being able to establish, as Kelly has said a few times, a rapport with women, maybe even if it's around the kitchen table, and being able to create a culture of women that is not backbiting. I've often related the times when I've led women's ministry, especially when I've been taking them somewhere, you know, to a conference or to on a retreat or those kinds of things. It's kind of like herding cats, you know?
That's true.
Every woman has her own opinion of where we should have eaten, how we should have gotten there, you know, the destination. I mean, we understand women can be lots of fun when it comes to trying to lead them. So being able to really navigate through that heart issue and bringing this not me but you kind of mentality, that could just be Operation 101 in what you're seeking to do in leading a women's ministry where you're at, because God may be preparing someone to take this for the next season into its next season, but loving them well. That's such a beautiful thing. So give us an example maybe of your favorite thing that you're currently doing right now through women's ministries in your local church in Maryland. Maybe one smaller initiative and then maybe an annual event that you love.
Yeah, that's great. So we're really big on life groups, really big on small groups, meeting together in homes. But we've found that because of those last 2 years and where we're at, and especially here in the Northeast, you know, things with COVID, people are still a little bit timid to gather in homes. So we started meetups, which are a brand new thing for our church. And a meetup is we'll post it on our church's list of event page. And so everyone can see it, but anyone can host a meetup. So a meetup is a one-time event. It can be like we've got a group of women who love to sew. So they're sewing feminine hygiene kits for women in Africa. They meet up once a month and they create these sewing kits. We've got meetups that happen at a gun shooting range. We've got meetups that are happening with this throwing archery or just getting together for lunch. And so really you're encouraging the women in your world. Host a meetup, host a one-time event for people to connect. And then hopefully that connection creates a hunger in them for more. And then they want to become part of a life group. So I think we have to be willing to kind of look at where we're at right now, where we're at in our culture, where people are at, and do things maybe a little bit creative, a little different than we have before. Yeah. And so I think make that entry level as easy as possible. Make it easy for women to just meet up for a restaurant and get to know a group of girls that they've never met before, because people are hungry for connection. So that's one thing I'm really excited about, because it's just been this great entry point for women. Another thing that I'm really excited about this year is I'm going to take about 12 women, handpicked women, on a 6-month journey of intentional mentoring. So we'll all meet together once a month, and then I'll meet with each one of them one-on-one once a month. We'll have things that we're studying through together, really with the intention of building a circle of women I see leadership qualities in them. And then they, after that, hopefully will feel inspired to lead a mentoring group in the next 6 months or the next year, so that we're constantly intentionally pouring into and developing new leaders, women who we see that we think, man, there's something special on their life. I believe that they'd be a great leader. So that's one thing. And then we've got a big annual conference that we do. We've got one coming up here in April that we're really excited about. And that's a great, I think, a conference like that, whether you host one or whether you go to one, it's a great, some of those are really powerful moments. And those are like the encounter moments where oftentimes God speaks really powerfully to your heart. And then you get to help lead your women on how to bring that back home. So it doesn't just stay about what happened at a conference and think that it has to be a conference, but God speaks to our hearts in those encounter moments of our life so that we can go and do something with them. And so, you know, whether you're you host one at your own church or if there's a great one close to you, I think those are great things to gather your girls and go to. Like you said before, there's something deep that can happen in relationships when you take a little road trip together. But I'm excited this year really about the smaller, more intimate things, even than the bigger things.
Yes, and being adaptable to what works. I think sometimes we get so caught up in what we can't do right now that we're missing all the can-dos. And there's some really unique opportunities. You know, we recently had guest Miriam Neff on the podcast, and she was talking, she has a ministry for widows. And so a lot of the things that she had been traditionally doing to reach widows across the nation and around the world, all of that kind of came to a screeching halt. And she said, all of a sudden, though, there were these opportunities that came to me through Zoom. And she's in her mid to late 70s, I believe. And she said, so I got to learn this whole new thing, places where I got to be in rooms with people that I otherwise was being prohibited from being with. But it opened up doors for me to be present with them while they're doing the curriculum and the things that our ministry has provided. Otherwise, she goes, I would have never been invited to be a guest speaker there. And I was obviously not going to be able to do that at that time, even if they had asked. But because of this unique platform, now I was able to interact with all these people that otherwise would not have been a possibility even pre-2020. You know, so it's about figuring out what we can do, and that's really all that God's asking for us to do, right? Is to do what we can do, not what we can't. So, you know, we're going to come back, like I said earlier, once per quarter, and we're going to talk about some different facets with women's ministry. And then we're going to close out in December with a panel discussion. And I'm really looking forward to that, to bringing women's ministries leaders from a variety of venues, maybe someone that is leading in rural America, and then someone that's meeting in a city, you know, maybe a metroplex, at a larger church, perhaps a variety of venues that we can come together and really just hone in on what it is that we can do together to encourage one another and to fan that into flame. And, you know, of course, Kelly, at Sanctuary, what all the things that we've talked about today, these are all things that we're trying to provide for those that are a part of our Ministry Wife community. Things that we are providing for you so that you can provide it for the people that you lead. I'm not providing anything that's super dynamic aside from the opportunity to connect and the opportunity to be vulnerable with someone who understands you and who understands the life that you lead and can be there for you when you need someone of your own accord. That's the lonely part of leadership, right? You know, you're leading all of these other women. You're not as likely to be able to find what you're giving to them among them. And so you find that in communities of women who are doing life similarly to you. How can our listeners follow you on social media? We'll include all these different links and things in our show notes today. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing, Kelly, and how our listeners can be a part of that.
Yeah, I would love to connect with you. My Facebook handle is Kelly A. Ferguson. That's Kelly with an I. A. Ferguson, and on Instagram is just Kelly Ferguson. I would love to connect, and also you can email me at Kelly, K-E-L-L-I, at cafrederick.com. That's our church email address. I'll send you that, Bridget, but would certainly love to connect with any of you women who want to connect, want a friend over here in Maryland, and look forward to hearing from you.
thank you again for this conversation. So excited about what the future holds and looking forward to developing this with you, and excited to hear what God's doing in your pocket of this nation. And know that God is going to use us to build one another up in our most holy faith. And that's what Sanctuary is all about. Thank you, listeners, for being with us today. Please share this with the women's ministry coordinator or leader that you know, someone that's going to draw inspiration, encouragement, and receive the challenge that we've issued here today. And we'll look forward to visiting with you in just a few weeks at Let's Talk with Sanctuary. In February of 2022, we had the distinct honor of hosting a virtual Let's Connect event for widows of ministers, hosted by Sanctuary and facilitated by Miriam Neff of Widow Connection. Perhaps you know of a pastor's wife who has become a pastor's widow and know that she would benefit from connection with other women who are walking that same journey. Reach out to us through the contact link you'll find in today's show notes. We will host another session in the second quarter of this year and would love to include even more of these incredible women.